Good morning and welcome to All Saints Church, Fordham and 8 Ash Green. Today is Sunday the 28th of February 2021. Our focus today is on the book of Revelation. We're beginning a new teaching series looking at the seven letters from Jesus Christ contained in chapters 2 and 3 of the book. Revelation is a famous bit of the Bible, but some of it is difficult to comprehend. And often people are quite fearful of its content. Today's sermon will be an introduction to the first chapters of the book, in which I want to encourage you to engage with these messages, and I want to help you to understand that the book is for every Christian. All that you need for this online church service can be found in a Bible and in today's notice sheets, which can be downloaded from the church website. During our time together, there'll be a number of songs and prayers. I encourage you to join in at home, singing and praying out loud as you feel able. Well, let's come before God together as we begin. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, these days of lockdown are hard for many of us. You know the private struggles we face in our lives at home, in seeking to fulfill the responsibilities of our work. You know the health issues and financial pressures we face. You know the narrowness of our current experience. So we come seeking knowledge of you today. We seek your help and we seek relationship with you, our great God. We come looking for hope and for fresh vision. Please meet with us this morning. And we pray this in the name of Jesus, your Son. Amen. Our opening song is a prayer. It's inviting God's Holy Spirit to breathe new life into us. It's a prayer asking for renewal, for faith, for passion, for joy, for love and for kindness. So let's seek the fruit of the Spirit of God in our lives as we sing together, Holy Spirit, living breath of God.
Bring the presence of thee.
Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Heavenly Father, please fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit, as individuals, as families, as a church community. Purify us by your Spirit, that we may live faithfully for you. How we need your work in our hearts during these days of quarantine and lockdown. We want the world to see the face of Christ in us, and for you to be glorified through your church. So we look to you today for renewal and power, to live lives which please you in our work, in our homes, in our relationships. Amen. I invite you to put your trust in God afresh today using the words at the top of page 2 in the notice sheet, and the words will appear on the video as well. Please respond with the words in bold. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. You are the God of my salvation. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. In you I hope all the day long. O my God, in you I trust. Remember, Lord, your compassion and love, for they are from everlasting. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. The coronavirus reminds each person of his or her mortality. However long God grants each of us to live, we will all die at some point. And then we'll encounter God as our judge. So in our worship today, we've put our trust in God, and now we express our repentance to him. We continue in an attitude of prayer as we come to confess our sins to God. A moment of quiet before we pray together. Let us say sorry to God for our sins. Lord God, we have sinned against you. We have done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May the Father of all mercies cleanse us from our sins and restore us in his image to the praise and glory of his name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Today's Bible reading is from the book of Revelation, chapter 1, and Helen Main is going to read it for us.
The reading is taken from Revelation, chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. The revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place, he made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw, that is, the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it, and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia. Grace and peace to you from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priest to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power for ever and ever. Amen.
From Jesus Christ, and we're going to look at Revelation chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. Revelation, the final and 66th book in the Bible, full of fantastic imagery. I wonder how you feel about the book of Revelation. Does it intrigue you? Does it interest you? Or is it that freaky book that's too scary to look at? Perhaps maybe for you it might be some kind of no-go zone in the Bible. Well, whether it's intriguing for you or scary, the aim of today's talk is to introduce the first three chapters of the book. I want to clear away some of the fear factor, because the book of Revelation is a book for every Christian, and it can be a book for you. I'm going to frame this talk around two questions, which are on page 4 of the notice sheet, if you like to take notes. So firstly, we'll ask, who was the book of Revelation written for? So who was and who is the intended audience? And secondly, we'll ask, who was the book of Revelation written by? Who was the author of the book of Revelation? If you have a Bible to hand, whether it's a physical copy or on a device, it would be helpful to have it open at Revelation chapter 1. Julian, the clicker's not working. There we go. So firstly, who was the book of Revelation written for? Books are written with particular audiences in mind. A book for children is written differently to a book for adults. A cookery book is written for a different audience from a physics textbook. And the first chapter tells us who Revelation was written for, and we find that it was designed for two audiences. Firstly, for seven churches in Asia. Please look at verse 4 with me. John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia. A man called John is writing to seven individual church communities. Then look at verses 10 to 11. On the Lord's day, writes John, I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, write on a scroll what you see, and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Here they are on a map. Seven churches in Asia Minor, which now today is the country of Turkey, in the northeast corner of the Mediterranean Sea. And these churches are named specifically. Ephesus was an ancient Greek city. It's now deserted, but you can still visit its impressive ruins. Smyrna is now known as Izmir, but its name was only changed in 1930. Pergamum at the time was a religious center with many pagan temples. It contained the first ever temple built to honor a living Roman emperor. Emperor Augustus built it in the year 29 BC. Pergamum is a ruin today. Thyatira is now called Akhisar, and as you can see, it's a large city today. Sardis was an ancient city on the location of the present-day city of Sart. And Philadelphia is today known as Alasahir. Finally, only ruins remain of Laodicea today. So four of those cities still exist, but they have different names, and three of them are only ruins are left of them. So in chapters 2 to 3 of Revelation, there's an individual letter for each of the seven churches meeting in those locations. In this teaching series, we're going to study one letter a week in our online church and also in growth groups. We'll look at two before Easter, and then we'll continue with the series after Easter from the 18th of April. So Revelation was written for a very specific first audience, seven Christian communities in the latter part of the first Christian century. But the opening of the book also addresses Revelation to a very general audience. Have a look at verse 3. Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it. So who was the book of Revelation written for? Well, secondly, for anyone who reads, hears, and takes it to heart. So it can be a book for you if you will read it and hear it. It's a book to be read aloud and listened to. And we've just heard some of it read to us by Helen. Thank you for that reading. Blessed is the one who reads. So there's a particular blessing for Helen with having been the public reader of Revelation today. There is a promise of blessing for anyone who takes to heart what's written in the book of Revelation. This means that understanding as much of the book as we can will bring blessing. Revelation was written to change your life. So we need to take the message to heart. Let this be an encouragement to you to seek to understand it and to put it into practice, because you will be blessed if you do. In your brain, you may have a compartment labeled scary, don't go there. And the book of Revelation may currently be filed in that compartment. Well, if that's the case, these verses encourage you to move Revelation over to the give more time to it compartment. So the book of Revelation was written for two audiences. Firstly, seven specific churches at the time when John wrote it down. And secondly, for anyone who will read, listen, and take to heart what's written in the book. So it's a bit of the Bible for us today. Through this series, we're going to explore Jesus' messages to those seven ancient churches to see what they mean for us in our day. Let's move on to consider, who was the book of Revelation written by? Who was the author of the book of Revelation? There were two intended audiences for the book of Revelation, and there are also two authors of the book. Firstly, we have John, the human author of the book. He introduces himself in verse 4, as we saw earlier. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia. And in verse 9, he describes himself as your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus. The church at that time was facing persecution for following Jesus Christ. As you read Revelation, remember that it was written to Christians who were struggling to follow him faithfully. They were facing pressures and persecutions. Understanding this context is a key to understanding the book. I think it's fair to say that the more you suffer through seeking to serve Jesus faithfully in your life, the more meaningful, encouraging, and precious the book of Revelation will be to you. According to Gordon Fee and Douglas Stewart, the persecution at that time came when Christians refused to join in on the cult of the Roman emperor. At that time, the emperor was trumpeted as Lord and Savior. This was too much, and it was turning into idolatry. So Christians who refused to participate in the emperor worship came into conflict with the Roman state. That's the context in which John received these visions from God, and in the context in which he wrote the book of Revelation. And this is why John himself was on the island of Patmos. He was imprisoned there for his faith. And this shapes the whole flavor and purpose of the book. Have a look at the map again. And this time you can see the island of Patmos there on it, just off the coast of where those seven churches are. John had been sent to Patmos, verse 9, because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. John was well known to the seven churches and is traditionally identified as John the Apostle, the brother of James and son of Zebedee. However, it is possible that a different John wrote the book. So the human author is a man called John. But there are two authors of the book of Revelation. And secondly, the author is Jesus Christ. The book begins in chapter 1, verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, we can read this two ways. The book of Revelation is from Jesus Christ, or the book of Revelation is about Jesus Christ. That first phrase could mean either of those. And in fact, it means both. Revelation translates the Greek word apokalypsis. In the first Christian century, this referred to something being revealed or disclosed. The content of the book was revealed to John by Jesus Christ. Now, today people use this word, they describe something as being apocalyptic in scale. And this is because the visions recorded in the book of Revelation are so epic. So when something, you know, really massive happens, people say, oh, it was apocalyptic. But looking at other occasions when the word apocalypsis occurs in the New Testament, it's used to refer to something hidden being revealed, something that you can't see or know being disclosed to you. And that's what Jesus has done for John with the book of Revelation, and he's done it for us as well. In verse 1, we find that the revelation was communicated to John through an angel sent by God. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John. So he communicates through an intermediary, a go-between, an angel. John is on the island of Patmos, and he describes himself as being in the Spirit. In some way, he's caught up in the Spirit. Verse 10. On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, write on a scroll what you see, and send it to the seven churches. So John is given a direct command to write down what he sees, and he must send what he records of his visions to these specific churches. So who is the person with the loud trumpet voice who commands him to write and send? Well, it's Jesus. John hears the voice and then he turns around and he sees Jesus Christ glorified and powerful. This vision of Jesus is recorded in chapter 1, verses 12 to 18. And I gave a sermon on that vision not so long ago, on the 22nd of November, year 2020. The sermon is called Jesus Christ Revealed. And if you missed it and want to know more, you can find that service recorded on our YouTube channel and on our website. So Jesus specifically instructs John to write. These seven letters come from Jesus Christ. In the vision, John sees Jesus as powerful and glorified. He describes him as one like a son of man, referencing the book of Daniel from the Old Testament. In the vision, Jesus walks amongst seven golden lampstands, and in his hand, he holds seven stars. In verse 20, John explains that each lampstand represents one of the seven churches, and each star represents the angel of each church. We should note that Jesus holds the angels in his hand. He controls them and they do his work. Jesus is in the midst of the seven lampstands, meaning that he is in the midst of his churches. Now, this is encouraging for us. It shows the closeness and proximity of Jesus to his churches. Jesus is interested and concerned about the details of life in each of his church communities. He was interested in what was going on in those seven ancient churches, and he's interested in what is going on in All Saints Church today, even during the lockdown when we can only gather online. And if you're listening from another church today, he's interested in the details of life in your church as well. The seven letters show what Jesus observed of each of the seven churches. He commends them for certain things. He crits them for certain things. As we study the letters over the coming weeks, we'll consider how we compare with those seven ancient churches in the eyes of Jesus. And we'll seek to apply his words to them, to us today. So the human author of the book who experienced the visions was John. But when we look at the details, Jesus is the author of the seven letters to the churches. They really are letters from Jesus Christ. And for this reason, we want to pay careful attention to them. Well, let me wrap up as I come to the end of this talk. The book of Revelation was written for two audiences: seven specific local churches at the end of the first century, written at the time, at the time when John was alive and he wrote the book of Revelation, and also for anyone who reads or hears and takes to heart what's written in the letter. So it's for any Christian down through the centuries, and it's for us today. The challenge as we begin is, will you read the book of Revelation? Will you study the seven letters carefully? Will you take to heart what's written in the book? This teaching series gives you the opportunity to seriously engage with this part of the Bible. And growth groups give an opportunity to take this a step further, discussing one letter at a time with others in the church family. On page 5 of the notice sheet are details of an e-book that will help you to engage further. It's called Revelation 2 and 3, A Message from Jesus to the Church Today. And it's written by Tim Chester and Jonathan Lamb. You'd be very welcome to join a growth group for this series. Please contact the church office if you're interested. will you look for the blessing by listening, reading, and taking to heart the message of the book? The book of Revelation had two audiences, and it also has two authors. The author of the final scroll was a man called John, but the person writing through him is Jesus Christ. Sometimes Jesus is speaking directly to John. Sometimes an angelic messenger is guiding John as he sees various visions. The message comes from Jesus Christ. Two audiences, two authors. These letters were written for those churches then, but they're also written for us today. And we're going to explore them with the aim of hearing God's word to us and to take that word to heart in our lives as a community, as families, and as individuals. Some of Revelation is difficult to understand, yes, but seek the blessing that's promised by understanding as much as you can. It's a promise for those who take the message to heart. Let's have a moment for you to reflect on what you've heard, and then I will lead us in a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the book of Revelation. We thank you for giving it to us through the Lord Jesus Christ, through John, through the angel who guided him as he saw his visions. And we thank you that it is your word for us today. It's an ancient word from 2,000 years ago, but it's for your people today. And so we come to you, Father, and we want to ask that you would help us to take it to heart. Please give us the gift of your Holy Spirit to give us understanding of what it means. And help us to put it into practice, Lord. We open our hearts to you and say, change our lives through your word. We pray these things in the name of Jesus and for your glory. Amen. Our next song celebrates God, his eternal nature, his authority over time and history, and his magnificence. Let's respond to God's word with worship. The splendor of the King.
Let all the earth rejoice.
Let's declare the historic Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Our faith is not a new invention, and it's not a minority interest. It's been believed by God's people down through the centuries, and it's believed today around the world by over 1 billion people. Followers of Jesus, do you believe and trust in God the Father? I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe and trust in His Son, Jesus Christ? I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, He rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and He will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe and trust in the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Margaret Munday is going to come and lead us in our prayers.
Let us pray to the living God using the colloquy, which can be found on page 2 of the notice sheet. Almighty God, who sees that we have no power of ourselves to help ourselves, keep us both outwardly in our bodies and inwardly in our souls, that we may be defended from all adversities which may happen to the body, and from all evil thoughts which may assault and hurt the soul. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we come this morning with love and gratitude in our hearts for who you are and what you mean to us. It is good to worship before you today, and value so much to be free to do this openly. We think of those in other parts of the world that aren't able to do this. Bless and protect them, Lord, we pray. We can't help but praise you, Lord, with the emergence of spring that we've seen this week, the lovely flowers and the sunshine, Lord, for that miracle that happens every year, Lord, but is especially good and important to us at this time. We thank you, Father, for being with us by your Spirit in the highs and the lows of lockdown. Be with those that are bereaving, those that are lonely, who are shielding and coping with the debilitating conditions of COVID. For all that are in hospital, help us to continue to lift them up to you as your Spirit prompts. We pray when the children go back to school that they will settle back well and the teachers will be protected from the virus. We pray for the Buckle family, that the difficulties they have had with the headstone will soon be resolved. Please bless them all at this sad time. We bring you before you, Lord, those known to us in need of your healing touch. We think of John Gage, who went into hospital last Friday for a mini operation. May have a speedy recovery with no ill effects. Also for John and Marie C. Bunyan, for their son-in-law Chris and his wife Charlotte, as he continues on his journey with you to full recovery. Please guide all medical people involved. We pray for any of our church family that are suffering undue pain or weakness at this time. As you keep close, will you bring healing and blessings, dear Lord? Remembering Frank and his family, who is 14 years old and has been told that he has a year to live, please help and bring strength to them as they use this time while he is strong enough to enjoy a considerable bucket list. And please, in all of this, will you reveal yourself in a wonderful way? We thank you for Francis and his family and ask that you will bless and build them up in you and for a good family time. Finally, Lord, we bring this sermon series to you at this time of Lent that we might respond to your revealed will for each one of us personally and for the church here in Fordham and Aitesh Green. As we journey with you, Lord Jesus, towards Jerusalem, recalling of the first Easter, your sacrifice and suffering, may we have truly thankful hearts and endeavour with your help to lead lives that are pleasing to you. We ask all these prayers in the name of Jesus. Can we close with the Lord's Prayer? It can be found on page 3 of the notice sheet. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Margaret, thank you for leading us in prayer. We're coming towards the end of our service and some items of church family news. Please do have a look at this week's notice sheet. It can be downloaded from the church website. Virtual coffee happens at 11:30 today as usual. 11:30 to 12:30, opportunity to connect with those in the church family, to stay in fellowship with one another. And also an opportunity to discuss the book of Revelation as we start to study it as a church through the next weeks. If you'd like to join in on the Zoom coffee, but you don't have the Zoom link, do contact the church office. And likewise, if you'd like to receive the notice sheet each week by email, do let them know and you can be added to the email list. The All Saints Club online returns this afternoon after the half-term break, 3 p.m. for 4 to 11-year-olds and 4 p.m. for 11 to 15-year-olds. On Wednesday, our new midweek coffee break will be taking place on Zoom from 10:30 a.m. Make yourself a drink and join in for a chat. The Zoom link was included in the weekly email from the church office. We don't post the link on the web, but you are very welcome to share it with friends and family. The Colchester Deanery Synod will be meeting online this Wednesday evening. And please join me on Thursday evening for our monthly prayer focus evening. I consider this the most important meeting in the life of our church beyond our Sundays. The evening is divided into a number of topics. There's time to pray for one another's specific needs. Our Easter activities will begin in 4 weeks' time, and we'll pray for God's leading in this, including the Easter Window Trail project. And Reverend Ayla Gage will be joining us so that we can pray for him and his family. I'll email the Zoom link out this Wednesday. Just a quick thought for those of you with children at home. I want to encourage you to read the Bible and pray together as a family. Lockdown has shown us the importance of this. It's always been important in the Christian community, but lockdown's really emphasized this. If this isn't part of your family life, it can be difficult to know how to do it and where to start. Please do get in touch if I can support you in this. One simple thing to do is to take a couple of minutes to pray together after a meal each day. And in my family, we currently do what we call our COVID prayer together after our evening meal. We have a brief chat about what to pray for and then pray around the table. Perhaps you could do the same. Details of how to get involved in the Easter Window Trail are on the back page of the notice sheet. We'd love as many members of the church family to join in as possible, along with members of the local community in Fordham and Atash Green. This is an opportunity to be creative, to design something beautiful that shares an aspect of the Easter message in an accessible way. And this may be the only representation of the gospel that people will see this Easter. If you'd like to get involved, please contact Rachel Gage. And finally, we look forward to our Friday lunchtime post office opening in the John Owen Barn, when restrictions permit. We'll let you know the start date as soon as we're in a position to announce it. We've come to the end of our time together. Let's finish with a prayer and the blessing. Heavenly Father, as we've heard from Revelation chapter 1 today, you want us to take your word to heart. And we pray, Father, that we would be a community that does that. Please help us. We pray that we can know and understand the meaning of your scriptures, and that we can take it into our life and live in response to it. So we pray for the help of your Holy Spirit informing us by your word. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. Amen.